already. That's what that's Shabbat Vesta was talking about this time. So up to day 25, daily kapara. That's Chaim says the pasuk. So now I'm starting. We finished the introduction. I'm starting the first halach. For Baruch Hashem, we're here. Sunday morning, not everybody was able to be here. Whoever's here is very lucky. It's not an easy day to come to. It's not. Except in the world, it's a hard day to come to. Oh, so what do we say? We're saying like this. Maybe Yitzi came here a couple of times today. It must be very, we have a big source today. It's the same like this. We're saying that in the first chapter of Chavetz Chaim, opens the following. It's forbidden to relate derogatory information about a person, even if their information is true. Good? You can't talk bad about somebody, even if it's true. And this is what Chazal, the sages of blessed memory, define this activity as Lashon Hara. What is Lashon Hara? Saying anything negative about another Jew, even if it's true, it's called Lashon Hara. See, the Chazal tells right away, what's Lashon Hara? You know what Lashon Hara is? Chazal says it right away. It's forbidden to relate derogatory information about another person, even if the information is true. And this is what Chazal call, they define this activity as Lashon Hara. Whenever you say it's Lashon Hara, that means that they're relating derogatory information about somebody else. Each of us recall a conversation in which someone told us Lashon Hara. You recall a conversation? If we could probe the mind of the speaker and study his rationale in relating something derogatory about a fellow Jew, we're likely to find that he felt justified repeating it because the information was true. Right? Why would a person who's speaking Lashon Hara, why is he speaking Lashon Hara? Most people will tell you, but it's true. When they're saying to someone, oh, this guy did this and this to me, you tell them, yeah, but it might be Lashon Hara. I'll say, yeah, but it's true. Now let me ask you a question. Ask this guy. Let me ask you a question, dear my dear friend. You're saying Lashon Hara. You're telling me you're allowed to say Lashon Hara because it's true. Let's say this story was about your father or your mother or your brother or your sister that you like. Would you tell everybody about this? But it's true. Right? But why do you say but it's true? Right, tell the guy you're telling me this guy does this to me, this guy does that. Right, this guy doesn't come to daven, this guy cheats everybody in business. Let's say it was your brother. And even if it was true, would you tell everybody about it? You wouldn't go telling everybody about it. Why? Because you love them, you care about them, and you feel like, oh, they're my brother. Right? Because you're protective over them. And you're protective over the people you love. So Hashem wants us to be just as protective over all the Jews. The same way we protect about a brother and sister, we wouldn't say, let's start, oh, and say it's true. Our brothers, everybody in Kalai, so we shouldn't say Lashon Hara, just on the fact that it's true. Again, the Chavetz Chaim tells us that the Torah specifically gives a specific Isser Deraita. It's not usually, most Midas, most character traits, the Torah doesn't give a specific commandment against it. Fun? Let's say to be, right, most bad characters, no specific commandment against it. Fun? Most things. However, Lashon Hara, there is a specific command. The command of Lotelech Rachil Ba'amecha, you shall not go as a peddler among your people, a specific, explicit Torah commandment not to speak Lashon Hara. You shall not peddle gossip among your people. What the Chaim said, how does that explain to me Lashon Hara? So he puts a picture of a peddler. He says, imagine a guy who's a peddler. What's a peddler? He's sitting with a sack over his shoulder. So usually the guy has, you know, onions and apples and potatoes. Let's picture the Torah's peddler that we're referring to. It was a guy with a sack, and inside his sack is full of Lashon Hara. A sack over his shoulder, full of Lashon Hara. He's coming over to you, trying to give you some. He's trying to come to you, give you some. So even though we don't realize that when someone comes to speak us Lashon Hara, that he's being a peddler, that's in reality what he is. Taking information that's in his mind, like in a sack in his mind, he's just peddling it out to you. So that means that's a peddler. And one of the main reasons Lashon Hara is so despicable in the eyes of Hashem, because filling one's mind with negative information and peddling it to others, and this is a lowly act. Hashem, though, doesn't want the Jews to act in a lowly way. It's lowly. Imagine We just see a guy just telling us a story. Really, this guy is telling it to us. Most guys who tell us a story, told it to us. He said the story many more times. He already said the story. He's planning on telling you already about this story. He's a peddler. He's just a peddler. So if we picture it like that, like a Torah guy, and say, I don't want to hear from this guy. I don't want to hear your stories. If someone's a baal shem, try to stay away from him. But even if they start speaking, you say, I don't want to hear your story. Good, in a nice way. Because you don't want to become part of this guy's peddling, becoming a part of his industry. You know, he probably has a whole industry, the peddling gossip industry. Yeah, so that's yeah, also the nice paper. It's someone nice. I'm not sure who it was. They didn't. It's Ilurishma Kamanatha and my parents' special. They printed like the parsha sheet that they make in Hebrew. You know the parsha sheet the yeshiva gives out in Hebrew? That every week that I love to give out, someone printed this week's in English. Whoever wants to read it, someone translated the whole thing. Whoever would like one, I think it looks like a Ruben Levy. I don't know for sure.
Actually, it's online on JerusalemCast.com.
Oh, who puts this out?
No, I didn't put it out. I just simply put it on the web.
You didn't put it on. It's very nice.
It's, you can download the PDF version. And every week when it comes out, it'll be on the web.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Under JerusalemCast.com, under Breslov Podcast.
That's nice. Parsha is very nice. Whoever translated is very nice. It's very beautiful. Always, every week that Parsha, they give out that along. It's very nice that someone translated.
Who did this, do you know?
I don't know.
Oh, Hillel.
We used to do this every week.
Hillel.
Hello,
Hello,
Milton? Hello, Milton?
Yeah.
Hello, Milton. Very nice. No, it was very nice.
How do you do
it?
What do you about that?
You do it on the bus.
No, it's not what we spoke with. This is the partial alone they give out. You know that alone they give out?
Yeah,
alone.
Alone.
Alone they give out. They put it out like on Wednesday, so from then you already translated. You had a few days.
I remember putting
it
to translate.
No,
that's
from
the
alone they put out.
He was typing it on the bus to
the job? Oh.
Yeah, to the. And then he emailed it to me Friday, and I was able to put it, convert it and put it on the web within an hour.
It's very, very nice.
With a PDF.
That was very special.
Easily downloadable.
That's very good. Thank you, everyone, for all your help. Fine, now let's start. Pass this around. Let's see. Put it in American shoes. Very nice.
Where are we holding?
We're holding now on Daf Chesam and Beis. We're really going to try to move to all the Mishnah. So this Gemara is really a copy of the Gemara we had on Chesam and Aleph. Holding 8 and B. So like this. We said there are those that learned this Gemara the following. So we're holding now the fourth line. Ika Damasi Laha Aha. Some learn this argument between Rabban and the Rabbanan and Ravina on the following Gemara. That what does the Pasuk say? We have a Pasuk that tells us the Charish Uba Katsir Tishpot. You shall rest from plowing and from threshing. Now, what's this pasuk referring to? So we spoke about this on Wednesday, right? Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, "Ein letzarach lemacharish shel shvi'a. The charish shel katsir." Rabbi, we're talking about shmita today. You don't have to tell me that halacha that you're not allowed to plow or harvest during shmita. Shehari behold, kvar namar. I already have a pasuk. Don't plant, you failed, you shall not plant. The comical with this more, don't reap your vineyard. So what do I need this pasuk for? Yes, everyone. I have an extra pasuk. What am I going to do with this pasuk? Eller, rather, afilu charish al Arab shviz, shenichas al shviz, even charish of Arab shviz, to plow on Arab shviz, which means in the sixth year, lishviz, which will enter shenichas al shviz, will enter the seventh year. The cutter shall shvi'is, or the cutting down of the seventh year, sheyata, which will, what, lemate shvi'is. That is also going to be not allowed. You hear, everybody? With the pasuk, it says an extra pasuk. The charish of a katir tishpot. You shall rest from cutting and from plowing. From plowing and from cutting down. Now, we don't need to tell me that you shouldn't do this during shmita. So I have another pasuk that teaches me you can't do it during shmita. So what's this pasuk coming to include? It's coming to include like this. For his sake, plant. Get to anything with it. Who is pointing out? Even planting, you can't do that. You force me to. Well, if the only purpose of plowing right now, these few months, is so she'll grow better. And she's there planting. I can't plant the tree right now. She's going to grow in Shemitah for the purpose of growing in Shemitah. If I plant my tomatoes now, I want them to grow now. That's okay, because they're also going to grow now. So if the sole purpose of my working the field now is for next year, you know what? For some farmers, if, I don't know, maybe without somebody, if they plant something now, it'll only grow in the beginning of next year, 4 months from now. So awesome. So that's about the harvest means even in the sixth. That's what's included. See, we already know this. You're not allowed to plow with anything in the sixth year, which will affect the seventh. You got that, you understand? You have to prepare. You're not allowed to plow now in the sixth year.
But that's only for things that are ready in the seventh year.
But for now, we're in the sixth year.
No, but if it's going to be ready in like 5 years from now,
yeah, I don't know such a thing.
Trees.
A carrot tree.
No, because I see the park with the windmills. They're planting trees now.
What type of trees?
Bush trees.
Bushes are fine.
Not a problem. It's about
the fruit trees.
Yeah.
Fruit trees.
You can plant this.
He said they're bushes. They're planting bushes. It's not about bushes. But they're not going to be able to take care of them. They can't take care of them next year. Even if they're bushes.
But if they're brand new, then you'd still have the law of Orla, which means that they wouldn't be...
But Rumi said they're not fruit trees, so they're funny bushes. Now, how personally you can realize that, I just want to tell you something. Everything that Uriah does over here is not necessarily, you know, agreed to by the rabbis. One year they were going around, like, sprinkling and different things, dirty streets, that some people called up, that people called on, and they can't do it. You know these guys from, like, the city, they go around fixing the grass and doing this? One year they're in streets, they're fixing the sprinkler systems, and just until, like, someone called up, like, oh, you're not going to do this. You can't really prove from them. They're not really religious people in charge of them. You know what I mean? And there, yeah, not. The religious people try to have, you know, had to have, like, you know, try to teach them, try to help them out. But just if they do it, they plant there, yeah, the city over here does it. Doesn't mean it's allowed. It just means they don't know anything. I'm saying you can't bring a proof from them. There have been times. You know, we can't control them. But Hashem should help them and keep them in some.
But I'm just thinking if it's a brand new plant and it hasn't reached the 3 years of Orla and it's planted now, you can't benefit from them next year anyway.
Anyway, you're 3 years. It could be they want to plant it now just to get it moving. But anyway, like this, you can't plow, right? You can't do anything now, it'll affect the 17th. Good? Also, you can't reap in the 8th year anything that grew at least 1/3 in the 17th. Which means next year, the end of the year, you say, oh, let me plant a tree. I start planting it now. By the time they come to the 8th year, it'll be nice, I'll have a tree going already. That's also awesome. Good? So it's really like this. You can't plant in the 6th year. Even right now, it will affect the 7th year. Good, you got there, bro?
You know it'll affect the 7th year.
It's going to grow in the 7th year. I'm not going to plant something right now that will grow next year.
Why not? It has to be according to Rosh Hashanah. There's a certain time you can be allowed to do it, right? I don't know what halacha is.
I can't plant something right now. Okay, we don't have to get all the complicated halachas right now. The point is, I'm not allowed to plant something now that will grow next year. Which means, let's say I'm a farmer, right? I say, you know what? If I plan to put something in the ground now, then it will come out, and next year, then I'll have what to eat. I'll eat stuff, and
You'll eat from that. It'll be ready to eat.
In the 7th year. Now, I'm planting it right now. The rule will tell. What takes 5 months to grow over there? Tell us something. I want to plant me now that's going to grow in Rosh Hashanah. What can I plant?
Cucumber?
What?
Fruit? Wheat, potatoes.
Wheat, potatoes. It takes 5 months. I plant it right now. What will grow then? I plant it now. What can I plant now?
Soy, corn.
Plant corn? Let's say I plant corn. I don't know if it's going to take 4 months. It's 4 months to grow?
Soybeans.
Fine, let's say I plant soybeans now. With the sole purpose I wanted to grow during Shemitah. Am I allowed to do that? Comes the extra positive? No. Even there are certain halachas, even at the end of the 6th year, you can't do. If I'm going to plant now, it's going to affect the 7th year, you can't do. Not only that, let's say with another scenario, I didn't really plant it, but it grew on its own, let's say, in the 8th year, at the end of the 7th year. And then, it grew a third. Beginning of the 8th year, I want to eat it. Am I allowed to start selling it and working, and am I allowed to benefit from it? Let's say, for example, I have some things grow every year. So let's say you have cherry tomatoes. You get them to plant them every year, right? You have cherry tomatoes, they keep on coming. Right? So I didn't plant them during Shemitah. I rested during Shemitah. I was relaxing. I was sitting in Shemitah Kol learning. And now on its own, it grew during Shemitah. Now Shemitah's over. It turns into the eighth year. Am I allowed to sell those stuff that grew during the seventh year? Even if it's Svichim, even if it grew a third, even if it's a Svichim, like once it grew a third, during Shemitah, even if it's just a Svichim, fancy words using, you're not allowed to use it in the eighth year.
Is
that considered a grew during Shemitah? And you're not allowed to benefit from it.
What about Oser Besdin?
Oser Besdin. Yes. What about Oser Besdin?
Isn't that a
Ketzer? Where is that? You'll ask the local Oser Besdin.
You don't
hold
that there,
Bidat,
right? What is Bidat hold by?
Bidat, well, they hold by, it's a good question. I don't know what they hold by. I know it's complicated, but I don't know. Ask a local Oser Besdin. Ask a ruler. When he finishes reading that book, Guidelines, he'll figure everything out, and he'll... That book, Guidelines, very good book.
What's the Ketzer with the Sugi,
though? The Sugi, what was the Ketzer? That's the Sugi. So what's the Pasuk about Chayr Shema Katzer Tishba is... Mara said, what's the word B'Chayr Shema Katzer Tishba is teaching? We're going to get to a White House talking to Arsugi right now. I'm just reading the Gemara. I'm not reading a tweet that's not for fun. I'm reading the Gemara inside. Inside the Gemara. The fourth line. What are those words in the Pasuk mean? That you should rest from plowing and from reaping. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need to teach me that you're not allowed to plow during the seventh year. The katzer shel shvi'is, you can't reap during the seventh year. Sharei behol bar nemar. Already says, sadcha leitizmar, do not plant your field. Mekarvach leitizmar, don't reap your vine. Don't prune your vine. So what's it teaching me, this pasuk? Ella, rather, it's not teaching me the halacha, regular halacha of shmita. Rather, what's it teaching me? Afilu karev shel arev shvi'is, even you're not allowed, you have to rest from eating plowing on Erev Shvi'is, meaning the eve of Shvi'is, meaning the end of the sixth year. Shenichnas l'Shvi'is, which will enter into the seventh year, which means when I'm planting down the eve of the seventh year, Erev Shvi'is will end up growing in the seventh year. Will benefit the seventh year. Or, Katzer Shel Shvi'is, I'm cutting down something that grew during Shvi'is, at least the third. Sheyata, which came out, L'matzai Shvi'is, the year after Shvi'is, right? Which is the eighth year. Wait, that's what this pasuk is teaching.
Which one? So that pasuk?
No, but Chayrish or Akatz at this point.
That's telling me you can't. Chayrish, I think Chayrish or Shvi'is, and Katzer.
I already had a pasuk teaching me the regular halacha of Shemitah. So much me, that's just halacha. That's according to Riki. Kamei Yeshua said, no, that's not what it's going to teach me. Mishpah no, said, this is what's going to teach me. Ma charish rishos, just like plowing is optional, there's no obligation to plow. Av katzer rishos. Also, when we say you're not allowed to reap in the seventh year, it's also rishos. Meaning he's saying it's really referring to the seventh year. That's what Mishmah is saying. Really, it's referring to the seventh year. So what's he teaching me? I already have a pasuk that teaches me you can't do anything. They just like charish. Which plow you're not going to do when it's personal, when it's optional. So too, when you tell you you're not allowed to reap, is also only in a scenario where I'm doing it for my own pleasure, it's optional. That you don't do in the seventh year. Yata, it's an exclusion. Katsira Omer, cutting down the Omer offering, shu, mitzvah, that's a mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. What's Rabbi Shmuel saying? What's this pasuk teach me? Pasuk said you should rest when from plowing and from reaping. So Rabbi Kiva said, it's going on the sixth year and on the eighth year. Come to Rabbi Shmuel. He said, no. Referring to the seventh year. Rabbi Shmuel says, this pasuk is referring to the seventh year. Good. But you told me we have a pasuk. It needs to be the seventh year already. So what do I need another pasuk for? To teach me like this. Just like reaping. Just like plowing. We're talking about you were doing it, it was a personal thing, there's no obligation. There's never a mitzvah to plow. So when the father told you you're not allowed to plow, it was personal. You're not allowed to do a personal plowing. So too, when you're not allowed to cut down, it's also referring to when it's personal, it's not an obligation. But let's say it's a mitzvah to plow, or to cut down. Then, saying if it's a mitzvah that it can be, it's going to be awesome. That's going to be like this. Say like this. Mishmah is like the seventh year, just like plowing. mitzvah derisa in the Torah to clap?
No.
Is there a mitzvah to yes clap? Clap. No. From ours, there's never a mitzvah to clap. Is there any mitzvah in the Torah? No, no. So this is not a mitzvah, correct?
What about the Omer?
So why do we have to talk about it? And what's... So now, what are we saying now? Plowing in the Torah, okay, you're not allowed to plow, means it's a personal thing. I'm talking to another person. But it also says you're not allowed to read. Also, we always make a hekesh. The words are next to each other. Whatever words are next to each other, they're usually the same thing. The Torah is going to be a flow. Just like plowing, we said you're not allowed to do, but in a case where it was personal, right? You ever heard of it? Well, you said to plow in the Torah, it's referring to something personal. Also, we said to reaping, it was also something that was personal. Good. Now, let's say I have a mitzvah to reap. That's allowed. What are you not allowed? What's the Torah telling you? You have to rest. When do you have to rest? When it's either plowing personal or reaping for personal benefit. But if it's a mitzvah, that is mutter. So this you're not allowed to do. But if it's a mitzvah, then you are allowed to do it. That's we're saying this is going to be excluded mitzvah. That's what it's equal. If you can't plow and reap when it's personal, you can do it when it's a mitzvah. The Torah says specifically when it's personal, you can't do it. That's Rabbi Shema. Which means cutting down the Omer. That's our that's our limud.
Is that what the pasuk's coming for?
Yeah. It's your talmud to tell you specifically when it's personal, you're not allowed to teach me the exclusion. And when it's a mitzvah, then you are allowed. Good? The rule, what do you say? It's good? So what's your Shema inside? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lunches. What is it? Just like the plowing is a scenario where it was a personal thing. It was not an obligation. Just like over there, to Rishos, Avkatzir. So too, also in the Torah scenario, telling you that you're not allowed to reap. Also, Rishos also referring to when it was not an obligation; it was optional. You had an option and you did it. Yatza, to the exclusion of what? What are you going to exclude? Like, you understand what I'm saying? Why is the Torah telling you this? Specifically, to teach you the exclusion of Katsira over cutting down the carbon armor. Right? The carbon armor, which they cut down, must say, right after Pesach, right? After the first day of Pesach, that night, must say Pesach, they cut down the armor. So, there, let's say that comes out during, on Shabbos, then you're allowed to. We're talking about Shabbos here. Again. Not during the seventh day, it's during the seventh day, not the seventh year. Seventh day is Shabbos. What's he saying? He says you have to rest for plowing and reaping. So you plow, you have to rest on Shabbos. Not during the, on Shabbos for plowing and reaping, it's personal. But let's say you have a mitzvah on Shabbos. Let's say the carbon omer falls out, you have to bring it on Shabbos. Let's say Friday was the first day of Pesach. Friday, right? So Friday night, you have to cut the omer. You're allowed to or not allowed? What do you say? Why not? Oh, I would say it's not allowed. Come to the positive teacher, you are allowed. What are you not allowed to plan on? It's personal. But if it's a mitzvah, then you are allowed. Good. That's the chiddush. I would think you're not allowed. That's what's your Shmuel inside. Let's see your Shmuel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we're holding on 7 lines from the top. Rishmal says the positive is referring to Shabbos. And Ma Harish Rishos. What is it? Just like plowing. It's when the Torah told you not allowed to plow on Shabbos. It was in a scenario where it was a Rishos where you had permission to do it. So you're doing it on your own. Af Katzer, also the scenario of reaping. Rishos, right? They're sitting right near each other, referring to a case where it was optional. Yatza, to exclude. Why is the Torah saying this? To exclude Katsir HaOmer, the cutting of the carbon armor. That the cutting of the carbon armor, Shahu Mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah. Since it's a mitzvah, even if it's Friday night, you're allowed to cut it. See, as you need a pasuk. I would think, like, you remember it's Shabbos, you can't. No. This mitzvah overrides Shabbos. Cut the armor, even though it's Shabbos, cut the armor. Good? That is the argument between Rabbi Akiva between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Good? So Rabbi Akiva said the pasuk referring to this, you can't plow during the 6th year and sometimes during the 8th year, you can't benefit. Shmuel, they know what's going on Shabbos, but we're excluding the case of a mitzvah. One of the Rabbanan asked Rabbi, said, now this is where it's a carbon copy of our Gemara early. But this is where it's a copy of our Gemara we had last week. Mimai, the Harisha, the Rishos. How do you know that the pasuk in the scenario of plowing was when it was Rishos, when it was personal? The Maharishas, I read the mitzvah. Maybe you were like Rabbi S. Maybe you were plowing for the mitzvah. Va'afilu hachi. And still in all, Amar Rachmana, Tishbais, the Torah still tells you to rest. Yeah, like this. What did we say? We said the Torah tells you not to let it plow. So obviously, what's the scenario? Must be talking about when you're plowing for a personal reason. Well, because there's no such thing as a mitzvah of plowing ever. So just like this, referring to personal reason. This also is that you're not allowed to reap when it's personal. Right? So when we said, what's the mitzvah? Then you're allowed to. The fun? Fine. Firstly, who said this is true? Maybe this is wrong. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe this is referring to a mitzvah. Maybe this is referring to your plowing for a mitzvah. And this is also by a mitzvah. The Torah told you you're not allowed to do it.
Yeah, but you mean going up and saw that?
We're not in Shemitah now, we're in Shabbos. We're talking about Shabbos.
Wait, what was Rabbi Gamliel attacked? What was the difference between
Rishmael? Rishmael?
Between Rishmael or Rishmael?
Rishmael, I made a mistake. I thought it was talking about Shemitah. I realized it was talking about Shabbos.
The pasuk itself.
So the pasuk says extra, six right? days. The pasuk says 6 days work and then the 7th day rest. It says 6 days. And Bachar Rishmael got the fish for its rest from plowing and from reaping. The question was, what is that pasuk referring to?
No, let me say, if we can learn from Soda on Karma Club, then why do we need Harish and Kutzer?
Well, so he's saying, it's not talking about Shemitah. He's saying, it's referring to Shabbos,
so
not to Shemitah.
So it's not a matter of it's an extra pasuk anymore.
That's even worse. By Shabbos, it's worse. By Shabbos, it's wrong. Because you tell me only plowing and reaping is Aser. There's another 39 blachos that are Aser. To say simply talking about a regular scenario of Shabbos is wrong. That's what we said last week on Wednesday. Wrong. It can't be going on regular halacha Shabbos because there's 39 halachos in the Aser, not just plowing and reaping. This pasuk has 6 days work and the 7th day rest. From what? From two things, plowing and reaping. Just for plowing and reaping. True? Now, it can't be talking about regular halacha Shabbos. All 39 halachos are Aser. What's it referring to? It's trying to teach you a halacha. That when do we tell you these halachos that you're not allowed to plow? You now have to read, that's only went to Rishos. The exclusion of the mitzvah, like over an armor, and then you're allowed to reap. So the whole point is going to get me to understand that you're allowed to cut, reap when it's a mitzvah. You're allowed to cut down the carbon iron. Good? So far, so good? Okay, so now, what's the wise kasha? How do you come up with your limud? Can you tell me, just like plowing is always a Rishos, you're allowed to plow. So do when you're reaping, it's also a scenario where it's personal. Person says, hold on, who told you that? Like, maybe the Torah's case when you were plowing was in the case of the mitzvah. Because you were plowing in order that you could grow stuff for the carbon armor. Why can't that be the case? We said, why does the Torah's scenario of plowing have to be a case where it's personal? Because we said, why? Why do they say the Torah's case is personal? You know why? Because we said there's no such case ever plowed as a mitzvah. That's what we said. So it must be, right, if you open your chumash, you'll never find a mitzvah to plow. So now the wife's saying, one second, why? Maybe you're plowing for the carbon armor, like Rabbi Yaakov said. Maybe I'm plowing in order that something should grow for the carbon armor. Let's say I'm plowing a piece of land. I'm plowing it, and I'm saying I'm plowing this in order to, I want to eventually plant something here for the, cut down for the carbon iron. That's what I was going to say, exactly, that's where it connects to the old one. Right now, the Gemara is saying, Maybe that's also a mitzvah. Maybe preparing the ground in order that things could grow for the carbon armor. It's also a mitzvah. Right? So who told you the Torah is not talking about a mitzvah? Maybe the Torah here is plowing when it's a mitzvah. Because you were plowing the land in order to plant over here the stalks of wheat for the carbon armor. Let me ask you about it. Is that called a mitzvah? The plowing in order that could eventually plant here and cut so it could grow and I'll cut down the carbon armor.
No, because you don't have to bring your offering.
You're not. You don't have to plow to bring the offering. Meaning, let's say it's already plowed.
Yeah.
You don't have to plow. Like the Gemara said, Amudah.
But someone has to plow.
No, let's say it was plowed from not Lashay Mitzvah. Let's say it was plowed. Stop.
Like if the wood is already there.
The wood is already there by the sukkah. If the wood is already there, you don't have to cut the wood for Mitzvah. So you're saying, so all over there, someone has to cut the wood. You're saying, let's say it was plowed not for the sake of the Mitzvah. The plowed, stop, a guy was plowed. And now I say, let me plant it. That's okay. Do not get the Mitzvah. Everything's fine. Just cut the stuff down. So we're saying, right now, the Gemara first wants to say, the plowing is a mitzvah. Now, the Gemara is going to answer in a minute, like everyone here is saying. It's like the Gemara said earlier. Plowing is not a mitzvah. Because let's say it was already plowed. It's fine. So I don't have to plow. Everyone's saying good. Everyone's saying, like the Gemara said earlier, exactly. Everyone's saying the right thing. Everyone's saying good things. So let's see the Gemara inside. Fine. So let's see the Gemara. Gemara said, "Amalei Gemara, Rabban Le Rava. One of the Rabban asked Rava, 'How do you know the Charisha the Rishos? How do we know?' We're referring to your scenario, plowing when it was personal. Dilma, maybe Charisha's armor. You're plowing the carbon armor. The mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah. Va'afilu hachiv, and even so, Amar Rachman. The Torah tells me, Tishvas, you have to rest." So maybe no, maybe even in a scenario of a mitzvah, maybe there also, so maybe even a scenario of a mitzvah, the Torah is also telling you to rest. That's the Gemara's kasha. So Amar Lei, Kiva, the Im, Matzah, Charish, in a Charish. The Gemara said, like everybody said, since if you found it already cut, not la mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. Now also, it's not a mitzvah. Since, let's say, like everyone was saying, let's say you already found a field that was plowed. And you want to plant the seeds for the wheat of the carbon omer. Is that good? It's fine. Right? Let's say I came and I found a field plowed beautifully. Wow, this is a nice field. Looks like some nice stuff's going to grow. You got a professional plower. Let me go. And plant the stuff in the carbon. Oh, yeah, it looks beautiful. Rube came and plowed. He's a professional plower. He turned it over. Everything looks nice. Let's plant the carbon armor. That's fine. Right? That means the plowing is not part of the mitzvah. Like the Gemara said it out, like everyone said.
But I thought plowing was part of the mitzvah because there are two parts of plowing. One is to dig the trench. The second part is to put the seeds in and cover the seeds.
But even that, let's say I find something that's already plowed, already grown beautiful. I come, it's Pesach night, and I'm walking around, and I see some beautiful stalks. I ask the guy, "Can I please take your stalks to the carbon armor?" He says, "Yes." Did I get my mitzvah? And then cut down the omer and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, right?
Well, then you have the second part that's threshing, namely cutting the...
But let's say, you're right, so you still get the threshing. But let's say I'm walking, the guy is supposed to cut the omer down, he's taking a walk on Pesach afternoon. Right, he's the first day Pesach, he's taking a stroll, he's trying to walk off the wine. He's walking, passing by Rav Reuben's backyard. He says, "Psh, I see golden stalks, he's such beautiful wheat. I was thinking of using a different one for the Beis HaMikdash, so this is gorgeous." Now Rav Reuben didn't really plant the Beis HaMikdash. He planted it for very holy reasons, but not the Beis HaMikdash. And now I see this golden wheat stalk, looks like it's beautiful, nice. And I say, "You know what, Ezra, Rav Reuben, can we cut it for your thing?" And Rav Reuben says, "Sure, I'll be happy using the Beis HaMikdash, you cut it down." Did we get the mitzvah for cutting the omer?
Well, someone has to cut it.
And then someone has to, sure, we get the mitzvah. It doesn't have to be planted and plowed and everything. All the stages don't have to be for the shape for the mitzvah. Even if it was planted aside, you were planting them to grow because you liked how it looked. And you were very into the look of the beautiful wheat growing in your backyard. And then we came and cut it down. We got the mitzvah.
But you're still cutting.
Fine.
That's the issue.
But you can prove to me that there's a mitzvah, plowing is the mitzvah. We were saying before, that maybe plowing is the mitzvah. Because if you're plowing for the carbon omer, if I'm plowing in order to plant the wheat for the carbon omer, that's a mitzvah. Then we're saying that's not true. I'll prove to you that's not part of the mitzvah. How can I prove it to you? Let's say you skipped that step. You didn't plant it for the mitzvah of omer. Stop it, grew. Somebody planted. You still get the mitzvah of cutting down? Yes. So that means that the plowing and the planting is not part of the mitzvah.
But what about the cutting?
Cutting is a mitzvah.
Wait, is that what the Gemara is holding by right here? It says this is like a wood case. If you found it, it's not a mitzvah. So if you do it yourself, so it's not a mitzvah.
If you found the plow already, you planted it, you just cut it down, it's not a mitzvah. Now also plowing, the plowing isn't a mitzvah. It's just preparation for the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. Preparing for the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. Just like by the wood. You found wood that's cut already. Just by the wood. My brother, I found wood that's cut already. Do I have to cut wood to build a sukkah or not? So that shows you, cutting wood isn't part of the mitzvah. So here also, if I already found wheat stalks that are grown beautiful, and I cut them down, do I get my mitzvah? Yeah, I get my mitzvah.
You need to cut it.
So, barley. Oh, sorry. But the chiddush is by shavuos. The barley is the Pesach. You're right, I'm like... Barley. The Ruben has beautiful barley. And you cut it down. So then, you get the mitzvah. So plowing is not part of the mitzvah. That's the Gemara. Just like we said, I'm going to Aleph. Building, cutting the wood for the sukkah is not the mitzvah. Here also, plowing is not the mitzvah. So let's see the Gemara inside. Amar Leah, who may Rabbanan L'Rava? Mimai Decharisha Rishos. How do you know plowing is a rishos? Sorry. Amar Leah, he said back, holding in the marble, Amar Leah. Why? How many lines from the top? I don't know. First word line, Amar Leah. Aleph Lam. Amar Leah, he said back to him, Kivan since the in a Masa Farosh. You find it already plowed. In a Farosh, you don't have to start plowing now. If we're allowed mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to plow. So we're saying, preparation for a mitzvah is not part of the mitzvah. Preparing the field to be ready to cut down the omer is not part of the mitzvah. Planting the stuff to grow for the carbon omer, not part of the mitzvah. Plowing and planting is not part of the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Cutting down.
That's the portion of Rabbi Shmuel. He said, no, but it's a different thing.
What is the support for Mishmuel?
Because Rabbi Shmuel said the first Peshach was that it's not, Rabbi Shmuel said it were not Hari, the first what's your name? Yotzer Kotzer Omer. So that's the only thing that's like saying, it's showing that that's true. It's only, the Kotzer itself is only the mitzvah. Preparing for it is not. Or is it a different?
But it got all work out for him.
What's that?
Yeah, it works then. Fine. But now Ravina has it. So you're telling me preparing to cut down the omer is not part of the mitzvah. Plowing. Got this, Ravina? If you plow and you planted all the seeds for the barley to grow, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is after it grows to cut it down. Cut down the carbon omer. That's the mitzvah. Everything else is a preparation for the mitzvah. It's all introduction that you need very badly. But it's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is cutting down the barley. Good? Now, that being said, I have a question from our Mishnah. Asi, Ravina, Rabba, Ravina asked a question to Rabba. We said in our Mishnah that a person who kills someone else b'shagig by mistake has to go to exile, has to go to galus. Yeah, so he said there's an exclusion. For ha'av hamaka is b'nei, father who hits his child. For ha'rav ha'red is talmidei Rebbe who hits his student. U'shliach pesin is shliach pesin. That they do not go to galus. Even if they still kill someone mistakenly, they do not have to go to exile. Right, let's say father hits, killed his child. The wife says, about my, why? Let me say like this. Let's say the child was learning Torah. Lab mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to hit him. Hashtanavi lab mitzvah. Now also it's not a mitzvah to hit him. Because the hitting him is just a preparation for him to learn Torah. When you hit the kid, is the hitting the kid the mitzvah? No, is what I'm saying right now. The mitzvah is for him to learn Torah. Hitting him is not the mitzvah. Hitting him is guiding him on the track to do the mitzvah. Correct?
So
what?
He should go to Galus, right?
What?
The question is, he should go to Galus.
Why is he not going to go to Galus? He's doing the mitzvah. What do you mean? Again, that's not the mitzvah. It's just the preparation for the mitzvah. Just like we're talking about plowing, the preparing for the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. So here also, hitting the kid is not a mitzvah. This is preparing him for the mitzvah of learning Torah. So here also, you should go to Galus. Why, you tell me, when you hit the kid, it's considered he's doing the mitzvah, that's preparing for a mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah itself. It's just preparing for the mitzvah.
Just chastise yourself.
Oh, so Mara's going to answer. Very good. Mara's going to answer. Possible with your apple, God, the gory, not a mitzvah coffee. Still a mitzvah. Still, like it says, Yasser, Bilchav, Yerichach, Chastise, Son, Elim. So with you, we're saying, it is a mitzvah. The reason our Mishnah, why we said if someone, Rabbi said someone who killed by mistake, someone who killed someone else by mistake has to go to Galus. Besides a scenario where your father hit a child and killed him. Now why don't you go to Galus? Because over there he's doing a mitzvah. Because the hitting itself is a mitzvah. Hitting the kid itself is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to hit a child.
Did we have this mishnah? How's it different?
It's the same exact thing. Why is the same exact gemara? It's a different topic. The same, that's what we're saying, this whole gemara is Ikad Maslahad. We're just saying this whole gemara, the carbon copy, it's the starting point was different. At this point, it's all the same exact thing. Okay. Carbon copy.
I mean, I can see the plowing is not mitzvah. I can see that. It's in preparation for the mitzvah, but it's not mitzvah. But hitting the kid in order to prepare him to do the mitzvah, in order to do the mitzvah, that's a strategy. Maybe they did that back in those days.
Of course they did.
Okay, so maybe it was more okay. I don't know. That's the motivating thing. Now we have, you know, psychological understanding to try to motivate.
First, you get rid of children's services. Personally, I recommend throwing them out the window.
You know, I think their intellectual limitations at the time.
It's called marijuana.
Given the lack of information that they had, that maybe produced that kind of thought.
It worked better. They were much better. They didn't have so many issues like we have today. They were much stronger. The people were stronger. The kids were stronger. People were stronger. They weren't so sensitive. They didn't watch so many movies. They were stronger. So therefore, hitting a kid.
You don't have the problem with the hippie liberals that have their minds screwed on backwards, as you do
fine.
With children's services, especially in California.
Let's try to finish Gemara. I don't know anything. I'm reading the Gemara. We're discussing Rav Dror all your issues with these days. I'm just saying what the Gemara says. And they do it in those days. It worked for many years.
No.
Was hit the kids that need to be hit in the puzzle. Now you have to know what it means to be hit. Now you have to know what it means to hit. It doesn't always have to be hit with your hand. Instead, it says chastise your son. Doesn't say hit it. So they used to use the stick to chastise. Now they use different things, but it says chastise your son. So the mitzvah is that. So we thought originally the only mitzvah is for him to learn Torah, to do it. So by hitting it, it's preparing for him to do mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. The Gemara says, no, it's not true.
You can also do other things to prepare him to study the Torah. The study the Torah is the end goal. That's the end.
But now, the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, the chastising itself is the mitzvah. The Gemara says, no.
I might be too modern.
But you're right, you're right. These days they say there's ways how to do it better than the old system. But the old system used to work.
The old system is better than the new system.
It works in a certain way. People are broken now. You have to realize people. It says you are chastising your son. You figure out how to do it. You discuss later how you're going to figure out how to chastise your son.
Can we take away his cell phone now?
Whatever, chastise your son. Let's say the guy died. He took away his cell phone. That was like his oxygen. He died. He couldn't feel like without his phone. He died. To go to God, let's say, no, then it's not your fault because you were doing a mitzvah. Whatever you took away from, whatever caused the guy to die, you took away the guy's thing and he died because he needed a chocolate cake. He said, no chocolate cake tomorrow, and he died because he couldn't deal with it.
All right. Just expedite time, keep going.
Fine, so we're saying, Yasim Rechav Yechav. Fine, so that's first shot. Hadar Amr, Rabba, Rabba back and said, no, La Milti Hita Amri. It's not true, my hope shot is not true. Fine, we'll stop, we'll continue this tomorrow.